And welcome inside of this week's edition of What's Important Now. I'm Tom Sears. Thanks for being a part of our program as we do our best to bring you what matters. What's Important Now? Absolutely. If you'd like to contact us, you can send us an email at whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. If you'd like to drop a letter or a note in the mail, you can do so by writing What's Important Now, 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. Again, that address, What's Important Now, 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. Find us on Facebook, Twitter. We're out there. Any archive broadcast that you'd like to listen to, you can find at blogtalkradio.com/What's Important Now. And just want to again thank you and thank all the faithful listeners for supporting our program, especially those that are my church family at New Beginnings Church, located in Good Hope. Grateful. Very grateful. Well, we have passed the 4th of July, and I typically would do this before the 4th, but we've bumped it up a little bit. We're going to talk about what it means, around all of our homes, especially with the new laws in West Virginia. There are fireworks everywhere. And I think that we have lost sight of what all of this really, really means. And it should be celebrated, but it's the birthday of America, 240 years old. That moment where we declared our independence from Great Britain. And it's a day that is not only special for that reason, but there's other things that it's special for. And this is going to be a trip down history, or through history, I should say. And I've done this in the past, but I find this very, very, very important let everyone know the real foundations of our country. Not only the 4th of July is the birthday of America, the moment where we declare our independence, it's also the birthday of some presidents, and not only birthdays of some former founding fathers, but also three presidents, American presidents, died on the 4th of July, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. It's a very well-known story, and of course, James Monroe died on the 4th of July, and the story of James Monroe I find interesting because he actually was supposed to die several days before the 4th of July, but it was his wish to die on the 4th of July. So doctors kept him alive with some drugs, and he lived long enough to die on the 4th of July. Now, why in the world would he do that? Well, it's because the 4th of July meant something. It meant more than cookouts and fireworks. Calvin Coolidge, as I mentioned, those founding fathers, or those, he's not really a founding father, I suppose, but he's influential in American history. He was born on the 4th of July in 1872. West Point had its birthday July 4th, 1802. Stephen Foster was also born on the 4th of July. The song America was sung for the first time July 4th, 1832 in Boston. Alaska and Hawaii both became states on the 4th of July, and slavery was abolished in New York on the 4th of July, 1845. The 4th of July meant something. It's 1,321 words. It takes only 8 minutes to read, and God is mentioned four times, twice at the beginning and twice at the end. And that's important for our program today because I will build on that. The purpose, of course, of the Declaration of Independence was to officially announce our separation from England. And, a lot of people don't realize that the moment that those individuals, 56 men, when they signed that document, the Declaration of Independence, they were declaring more than their independence. They were declaring that they were a traitor to their native country, England. They were saying, I am a fugitive, I am a criminal, I am a traitor. And thus, in the eyes of England, they deserved England's justice. But who were these individuals? 56 of them signed. the Declaration of Independence. Two were 20 years of age. 16 were in their 30s. 20 in their 40s. 11 in their 50s. Six in their 60s. And one, Benjamin Franklin, was over 70 years old. All of them but two were married. Each had an average of six children. 24 were lawyers, 9 were merchants, 14 were farmers, 4 were doctors, and 1 was a preacher. These are not just your layabouts. These are individuals who had influence. They were educated, they were civilized, and they were willing to sacrifice everything for their country to be independent. And history records, and I'm not going to go into all of this, but history records that they paid a very heavy price for their bravery. Many of them died in rags. Many put up their own money for the cause and were never repaid by their government. Some were so harassed, like Thomas McKean of Delaware. He was so harassed by the enemy that he was forced to move his family 5 times in 5 months. He served Congress without pay. And all the while, his family was in hiding and living in poverty. Thomas Nelson Jr. of Virginia, he raised $2 million of his own money to help fund the war. He was never repaid, and he personally made sure that the loan was paid back himself, thus liquidating his entire estate. He died bankrupt. And it goes on. Others were captured. They were mistreated. Their estates were ravaged. John Hart, for instance, left the bedside of his wife. She was dying, by the way. 13 children fled in different directions. His fields, his grist mill, they were laid to waste. For more than a year, he lived in the forest and caves, and when he returned home, after the war was over, he found his wife was dead. His children were gone. His properties were gone. He died a few weeks later, they say, of exhaustion and a broken heart. Of the 56 signers, it's said that 55 were active members of their church. But of the 56, few survived very long. 5 were captured by the British as traitors, tortured. They died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary War. And another had 2 sons that was captured. And I think many times the message that is lost in all of this is that these individuals did this so that we could be free today. Ladies and gentlemen, it is no secret. We are losing our country as it once was. I say this, some people like the direction of America. I am not one of them. And I know that I can hear the voices echoing out there saying, if you don't like it, leave it. I love my country. So don't give me that. I've just taken the time to educate myself on what has made this country great. I've taken the time to find out what made this country great. It's very clear that when the founding fathers signed that Declaration of Independence, it was signing our birth certificate over 240 years ago. We are now the longest ongoing constitutional republic in the history of the world. We have been blessed, but it's not by accident. And we need to understand that. Because if it's not by accident that we are blessed, then we better understand where our blessings have come from. And yes, I believe with all of my heart, as did our founding fathers, as I will outline, they believed as well that they were the blessings of God. If you look at other nations, other countries, you see their struggles. You see multiple revolutions. You see the turmoil that they face. And yet what we have seen in America many, many, many years is stability and blessing. It hasn't always been that way. It's been a process. But we see stability and we see blessing. And how in the world could we ever have achieved this? John Adams said, quote, "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity." He went on to say, that when we observed the 4th of July, that it ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. For those out there that want to purge our country of every Christian reference, it's very difficult to do because our founding fathers were tripping over themselves with references to God. Maybe that's why there's such a movement in America today to eliminate from the classroom the history of our nation prior to the Civil War. In order to preserve what we have, we must first understand the foundation. And not only the foundation, but the foundation and its principles that it was founded upon. I've quoted many times Woodrow Wilson on this program. He said, "A nation that does not remember what it was yesterday, does not know what it is today, or what it's trying to do." So what he's saying is if you don't know where you've been, you'll never know where you're going. Psalms 44:1 says, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us that of what you did in their day long ago." We need to begin to remind ourselves and our children and our children's children of what God has done in our country to make it great. We have a candidate out there who says he wants to make America great again, and a lot of people like it and a lot of people hate it. We are living in a time of so much division in our country, but the truth is America can be great again, but it's not going to be led by any politician. America will be great again because we go back to the principles that made us great in the first place. You see, the problem is we've stopped listening to our fathers. We've stopped listening to those who have went before us. We've just stopped listening altogether. We chase what we want. We chase what we think. Our allegiance has changed. Think about the first three universities. This is something I've profiled as well on this program many times. Harvard, Yale, and Princeton. They were the first three universities that were established in America. And all of them at the time of creation were church colleges. And their entire intention was for the training of the ministry. That's what America was about. A political science professor did a study from the University of Houston. He wanted to know who the founding fathers quoted the most. So they examined over 3,000 documents, and they found out that the founding fathers quoted three writers the most. The writers were Blackstone, Montagu, and John Locke. Interesting. Now, I don't have time to break down Blackstone, Montagu, and John Locke, but I can tell you this, that the foundations of our laws and our justice system in America come from Blackstone. And Blackstone got his ideas of law and justice from, maybe you'll not be able to guess, someone just did. Ding, 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 the Bible. But interestingly enough, this research, this political science professor found that more than the three writers, Blackstone, Montagu, and John Locke, 16 times more likely were the founding fathers to quote the Bible. That's what America was about. What's happened to us? Well, the reality is that we've told God we no longer need him. We don't need him in our churches. We don't need him in our homes. We don't need him in our schools. We don't need him in our nations. Our nation, we don't need him. And we've said to him in many ways that we would like it best if he would just leave. We officially said it in 1962 when a simple prayer was kicked out of schools. What was this simple prayer? It went like this: Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon thee and beg thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. June 25th, 1962. In the case Engle versus Vitale, the courts declared prayer was unconstitutional. You think about the areas of that prayer. Us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. That prayer acknowledges God one time, once, and it was removed from schools. The Declaration of Independence, on the other hand, as I told you in the beginning, well, it acknowledges God four separate times. Hosea 8:7 says, they sow the wind, they reap the whirlwind. What are we reaping? Based off of that one decision, what are we reaping? Well, the truth is that prayer was removed on the lie of separation of church and state. Now, before I dive into this, it's important to understand that statement that you hear, that our generations, our children are growing up to believe that somehow separation of church and state is written into the Constitution. It's not. It's not there. You won't find it. You won't find it in the Declaration. You won't find it in our founding documents. You will, though, find it in one of the letters from a founding father, Thomas Jefferson. You see, our founding fathers did not believe in this lie of separation between the government and Christianity. In 1853, a movement was started in which a group petitioned Congress for the separation of Christian principles from government, a separation of church and state. Now, for nearly 1 year, the Senate and the House Judiciary Committees reviewed and studied this petition. They wanted to know, is it possible to separate government from Christian principles? They both returned reports, and interestingly enough, these reports were nearly identical. From the House Judiciary Committee report dated March 27, 1854, it said, quote, had the founding fathers during the Revolution a suspicion of any attempt to war against Christianity, that revolution would have been strangled in its cradle. It went on to say, at the time of the adoption of the Constitution and its amendments, the universal sentiment was that Christianity should be encouraged, but not on any one sect or denomination. End of quote. Here's what's important. I've talked about this a great deal, and if you go to blogtalkradio.com/what's important now, you can find some of these broadcasts or programs that we talked about the separation of church and state in great detail. Interestingly enough, this is what is important to understand, that when our founding fathers were discussing the First Amendment and they talked about religion, they were not talking about various religions. They were talking about various denominations within the Christian faith. Clear evidence by the congressional record that proves what I just said to be a fact. It was further found, again, March 27th, 1854, by the House Judiciary Committee, that what I just said is true, that Christianity should be encouraged, but no single denomination should be encouraged. The report also went on to say, quote, in this age, there is no substitute for Christianity. That was the religion of the founders of the Republic, and they expected it to remain the religion of their descendants. End of quote. Flat out saying, without any distinction, without any lack of clarity, they are clearly saying that Christianity was so embedded and molded into the fabric of our country, it could not be separated. And other founding fathers have wrote to say that if you tried to pull out the threading of Christianity that has been woven into the fabric of our nation, you would thus destroy the nation. Now, since 1962, it's evident, it's clear that what we have seen is the pulling of threads from the fabric of our country, trying to change what our country was created to be, and thus weakening the fabric. There's going to come a moment where we'll pull out that final thread, and the fabric will not be able to stay together because it was created, this nation was created on the foundations of Christian principles. 2 months after that report, the House Judiciary Committee decided they wanted to add this declaration to their report, quote, "The great vital and conservative element in our system," in other words, the thing that holds us together, "is the belief of our people in the pure doctrine and the divine truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ," end of quote. What they argued, now you don't see declarations coming from the House Judiciary Committees, the Senate. You don't see those things happening in our modern day. But back then, 1854, they thought it was so important for the American people to understand that the thing that held us together as a nation was the belief of our people in the pure doctrine and the divine truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whenever someone out there comes out with these quotes of our founding fathers that seem to indicate that our founding fathers were opposed to Christianity being in the public place, it is taken out of context. It is not given in its totality. It is not provided to you the way it was supposed to be provided. For instance, the letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote about this, the wall of separation of church and state. And we'll get into that. Unfortunately, I'm going to run out of time. And so we will have part two of this program next week right here. And then, of course, the entire program will be available at blogtalkradio.com/whatsimportantnow. The truth is, as we celebrate this birth of our country, as we talk about it, at least next week, maybe even the following week, as we think about how blessed we have been, and now we see so much turmoil. Now, when I say that, I don't think that we should be clueless to the fact that America's had its problems. America's had its issues, and I'm fully aware of that. But it's also very clear that we were a nation that trusted in God. And when the big storms came our way, we were able to weather them. Again, if our blessings are not by accident, wouldn't it be vitally important to understand why they were not by accident? If it's not by accident, if the blessing is not by accident or coincidence, then wouldn't it be important to understand the source of the blessing? Well, there's one source, clearly, that time and time again has come to the rescue of this great nation. And that has been, without argument, a great God. Now, I know that there are those out there that say, you know what, you're just a radical, crazy Christian. Well, you call me what you will. I have been called worse, I assure you. But I can tell you this. I love my nation. I love my country. And I feel very blessed to be able, for instance, to bring this radio broadcast to you. There are some countries that would not allow for this. And I am very grateful for this opportunity. But I know my source. I know that the things in my life are not by accident. I know my source. And really, that's what it comes down to today. Do you know who your source is? Do you know what your source is? Because I believe this with all of my heart, that when you woke up this morning, you took the breath of life and you breathed today, because there was a source. And I believe that there's a plan for your life. If you're out there listening right now and you're not really into all the history stuff. You're not really into all that, but you know that things have been happening in your life, and it's just not by accident. It's not by coincidence. You can see the divine hand of Almighty God. I'm going to encourage you today to completely relinquish control of your life to Him, because there's nothing greater. There's nothing better. He is the source. And that's really what I'm calling for in our country. You know, a lot of people, they don't like the direction that our country is going, and they want to take up arms, and they want to be violent and hateful. And that is not the way. The source, the Holy Word of God, says that's not the way. Rather, the way, the truth, and the life is in Jesus. And I know that it's time for us to come together and love one another, that allow Him to heal the wounds that we currently have in our country. Allow Him to bring unity to the divisions that are in our country. He can do it. But we have to say yes to Him again. We have to invite Him back in again. We can't tell Him He's not welcome in our lives, in our churches, in our social lives, in our country, or in our homes. We must open not only the doors of our homes, but the doors of our hearts to Him. Because it's not by accident. It's not a coincidence. There's a source. And I believe with everything in me, He is that source. So if you're out there listening today, run to the source. Run to the source. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for your family. You don't have to continue to live life the way you've been living it. You don't have to live in fear. We're no longer slaves to fear. You don't have to. I challenge you. Rather, I encourage you. Run to the source. Maybe you're tired of all the drugs. You're tired of all the alcohol. You're tired of all the brokenness. You're tired. You're weary. You don't know where to turn. I'm telling you today, turn to the source. Jesus Christ is that source. We're going to continue this topic next week, right here, same time. If you're listening by chance on blogtalkradio.com/whatsimportantnow, then, well, you have access to this program. I want to encourage you to send us an email. We'd love to hear from you, pray with you, whatever. If you've got something you just want to, you're really excited about, you just want, need someone to share it with, I'd love to hear it. I love to smile. I love to hear about the good things God's doing. Email us, whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. Also, you can write us at by mailing. Boy, I'm chopping that to pieces. Let's try it one more time. You can write us by mailing it to What's Important Now. There we go. 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. It's about all the time we have. Again, all archive programs can be found at blogtalkradio.com/ What's Important Now. Don't forget, tune back in next week for part two of this broadcast. We'll continue to examine the blessings in the founding of our country. God has been good to America. He has blessed us. Let's bless Him. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, fight the good fight of faith. Contend for the faith. There is a cause. It does matter, and it is important now. Broadcasting for 13 years, over 13 years, I'm Tom Sears, and this has been What's Important Now. God bless you. God bless you. God bless your family, and God bless everything you put your hands to. Don't forget, He is the source, and He has a plan for your life. You don't have to continue to live life the way you've been living it. Run to the source today. Run to the source. God bless.